And welcome to another Norm at
Radio.
Hey, welcome to another Norm at Night. I didn't have my clock synchronized, and I got here a little late. I apologize for that. But I'm here right now listening to the president make up powers that he has. I'm very upset about it. I'm very upset. He's an arrogant. I'm very disturbed with the President of the United States, and I voted for him twice. I've had enough. Why don't you give me a call and tell me what you think about all this stuff? 347-945-6713. How much executive authority does the president have? And if he's doing things he doesn't have the authority to do, do we take him out of office? I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm just broken-hearted about this kid. You know, I'm listening to Rachel Maddow right now. Somebody call me up and tell me that I'm wrong. Congress won't act, so the president says he will. Well, you know what? The president is the executor of the actions of Congress. I'm listening to Rachel Maddow, and I can't, you know, if the issue is not what he's doing, it's whether the president, regardless if it's Barack Obama or if it's George Bush, does the president have the power to do these kind of things? Well, if he does, you know, we're in trouble. We're not a democracy. Let's just stop the whole fiction of the thing. Oh, God, I have to turn Rachel off. I'm sorry. So why don't you give me a call? 347-945-6713 and call me with a copy of the Constitution, because I think this guy has overstepped. You know, they say he's a constitutional law professor. I don't understand how. I really don't understand how. I don't think he has any sense of the Constitution or how it's supposed to work. Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, it's already beginning. Eric, what's his name, is gone. You know, go into Boehner's district and campaign for his opponent. Go right into the freaking district and make your case. They won't do this. They won't do that. They won't do this. It's unbelievable. Go into his district and ask him to pay for your children's health care till they're 26. Oh, I just get so mad. The chat room's open, too, but there's nobody in here. Yeah, the president operating with executive authority as commander-in-chief. Just go kill people anywhere in the world. We're no better than the frickin' Islamists. That's what they do. And now we do it, too. I don't know. I just, I guess I see the world differently. Give me a call, 347-945-6713. If you think I'm full of shit, try to take me apart. Bring it on. Silence. That's all you hear is silence. Well, don't worry, you won't have to hear me 2 months longer. I'll be 64 in September. I'm about to stop teaching school. Then the progressives could just take right over. I always thought I was progressive, but I'm not. Or maybe I am, and I just... But I think that John Dewey would line up on my side. Not all these other... The only thing we talk about is... What kind of sex you like, whether you want to have sex with a man or sex with a woman or, you know, what's next? Why can't we have, well, never mind. Why can't we marry three women? Why can't a woman marry four men? Nothing should matter anymore. I just want us all to have enough to eat. And we don't worry about any of that stuff. 347-945-6713. I need somebody to talk to, or I'm just going to keep rambling. Anyway, let's change the subject a little bit. Big day tomorrow. Big day. The United States tries to get to the round of eight against Belgium. I think they got a chance. I think they have a chance. If Argentina goes through tomorrow, which I think they will, then that'll be half the round of eight at least will be former world champions. Germany, Argentina, France, there's another one. Germany. Oh, Brazil. Brazil, France, Germany, Argentina. Yeah, that's all. And if the African teams are out, and if the United States can go through, then there'll be two CONCACAF teams in the final eight. That is a pretty impressive performance by little Costa Rica. They're in the round of eight. They beat the Greeks yesterday on penalties. It would have been nice to see the Greeks go through. That would have been a very exciting thing. I don't know. I think my phone could back out. I'm going to need somebody on the air to see if, I don't know, to see if we can get somebody else here. Because when the phone dies, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I could try to plug it in somewhere while there's nobody here. Nobody in the chat room. Nobody out in the air. It's summertime. People got better stuff to do, I guess, than listen to Norm at Nice. I'm just, I was at a wonderful wedding this past weekend. That was very nice. I went to my sister-in-law's wedding, my wife's sister, and so that was very nice. Beautiful venue in Baltimore Harbor, and so that was a whole lot of fun. I was in a room full of Republicans. I usually break out in a rash when that happens, but it was okay, I guess. I guess I could move. I don't know. Doesn't seem like I have a place to plug my phone in. It doesn't matter. If the phone dies, and there's nobody on the phone, I'll just wrap up the show for the night. Let's see. The World Cup, the President's Executive Action. So what do you think of Hobby Lobby? See, here's the problem. When, you know, people just expect the government to do their battling for them with the employer. This is why we need unions. The union, they just shut down Hobby Lobby until they can reach some kind of a agreement about how the health care should be. It's all collective bargaining. You know, this morning on Morning Joe, one of the guys just made the comment, I think it was the advertising guy, I can't remember his name right now, so I'm putting a password back in, Donnie, I can't remember his name, Donnie Deutsch, but he says, you know, a person doesn't like the fact that the health care at Hobby Lobby doesn't include birth control. You don't have to work at Hobby Lobby. I don't think it's that simple, but it is true. If the workers get together at Hobby Lobby and the workers decide that they want that to be part of their health agreement and they organize and you have collective agreements and bargaining, then they enter into a negotiation with Hobby Lobby. And both sides have to honor the agreement. There's a whole other part of this Hobby Lobby question which a lot of people are not talking about. The First Amendment was not created to guarantee individual religious rights. The Religious Freedom Amendment was created to prevent the federal government from imposing a religion on all of the states together in union. And in fact, at the time of the ratification of the Constitution, the state of Massachusetts had an established religion, Congregationalism, which is a form of Anglicanism, and the state of Virginia had pure English Anglicanism as their state religion. I'm not 100% sure if somebody's trying to call me or if I'm getting a warning that I'm losing my power. Hey, guest 6613, welcome to Norman Knight. Why don't you log in on the phone so we can have a chat? I would like that, actually. What did I do with that? There it is. I am trying to find power for my telephone, and I'm just going to do it this way. And boom. Yeah, I'm still on. I'm glad. Okay. We're still on the Norman Knight Show. If you want to give me a call, 347-945-6713, and you'll be here with Norm. We're closing in on the halfway point of the show, and it's very warm here in Washington, D.C. today, and this wing of the studio, or my house actually, is very, very poorly air-conditioned, so I'm very, very hot. And if I don't get some people here talking to me, I don't know how long I'm going to stay here. I know lots of people like to download and listen to my rants, but it really isn't a very fun thing for me to do. I like to talk to people and not, let me see if I can get that computer over here. Hold on one second. There we go. Now I got the computer over here. I guess it's a laptop. I don't know why my phone keeps beeping at me. Can you hear me? I'm hoping. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going on a crash diet, too. So here we go. Wait a minute. Here comes a caller. Hold on. I'm coming. Go ahead,
hey,
man.
Guy.
You're on with Norm.
How's it going tonight?
Oh, I've had a little technical trouble.
Mm-hmm.
My cords are too short, and I didn't charge the phone up.
Oh, okay.
But I'm all right now. I'm just going on about Hobby Lobby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys had took a couple hits today, huh, at that court.
Well, Hobby Lobby, I guess you could say that was a hit. But that's what happens when you let the government take care of your collective bargaining. The people at Hobby Lobby want birth control when their health care. They should paint the signs and close the place down till they give it to them.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, an employer can offer, you know, he's offering the benefit, right? He can offer whatever he likes, or nothing at all.
Right, or the workers don't have to take it, and they don't have to work, and your door doesn't have to be open.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. For the government to...
collective bargaining.
Yeah, well, for the government to mandate that, I thought that was a terrible mistake on their part.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And everybody misunderstands the Religious Freedom Amendment. It wasn't intended to guarantee people religious freedom. It's not what it was intended to do.
Yeah, because
it was intended to keep the federal government from imposing a religion on the whole country.
Right, right. Yeah, I think much the way, like the Equal Opportunities, what is it called again? EEOC?
Yes.
It's now that, you know, was meant to protect workers, of course. And but that's been inverted as well, you know. I mean, you've got, a guy gets a job and he says, well, I have to take Sundays off. That's my religion. I do this and that. And then we get into the reasonable accommodation and this and that. I mean,
it all should be collective bargaining.
Yeah, well, who's going to be doing the bargaining? That's the question, I guess.
People have to be organized.
Oh, okay. You want to go that route. Okay.
Yes, I want to go that route.
You know my opinion on unions.
Well, sorry. Unions put me through college.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad of that, you know. Unions paid my father a whole lot of money, too.
Who's out here?
But I've had no use for them at my end, okay? They don't work for me.
They work for everybody.
Oh, the hell they do, good God.
The hell they don't.
Yeah, if you like nepotism.
You don't like what your union's doing, you get active in your union.
Yeah. Well, now
yeah, it's like it's the other decision. All these leeches that are quote part-time public employees get all the benefits that the unions negotiate, but they don't have to join.
Right. Well, whose fault is that?
The court decided that today.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's up to the employer. Now, if your union has negotiated raises and benefits and you get them, fine. But that employer does not have to give them to everybody. Does he? No.
But then he needs. Then they need to go out on strike.
Yeah, well, then...
And they don't. Public employer unions can't go out on strike. They put them in jail when they go out on strike.
Right.
So they are like a cat with no claws.
Well, then too, you know, look at it this way. Now, in California, at least in the state government, I think it's all the way through the municipality.
Now all of a sudden, all public employees are going to start working 30 hours a week.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. My hours were reduced to 37 and a half at one point, you know. Yeah, you know, I dealt with it, but here's the thing. Now, you know, the California state government collects the union dues for the union. Okay?
Yeah, so, right.
So, well, figure it out. Let's say that they didn't do that. How many of those people would be paying dues? It's hard to say.
I don't think it's hard to say at all.
Yeah, well, a number of them would drop out. I'm sure of that, you know.
And then they would lose their jobs.
And there's
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, I don't think the government should do that for them. I think the union should, you know, as independent as possible. It should exist on its own merits. It should not have government assistance.
It is a negotiated benefit.
Yeah,
it is a negotiated benefit.
See, you don't live in a state that is being destroyed, and literally destroyed by unions.
It's not being destroyed. Those people aren't hungry. Those people aren't hungry. Those people have reasonable places to live. No state that has Hollywood is going to talk to me about how unions are bad for them.
There's not much there anymore. Have you really noticed, the reason is it's so damn expensive. You got to deal with all those unions to make a movie.
Why shouldn't you have to deal with all those unions to make a movie?
So they either go to another state or they go to another country and they get the job done. And a lot cheaper, too. Quality's the same.
If you're going to be on the Norman Knight Show, you're a union man.
Oh, now, see, about the only examples I can give you are times when I was intimidated into, let's say, in the military. Okay, your first year in the military, an NCO will come to you and he wants to sign up and he wants you to sign to give a monthly donation it's like an old folks home for servicemen, some sort of retirement thing.
And you don't say no.
In fact, most of the times with the recruits, they don't even ask them. It just shows up on your check. It's gone. That's the kind of stuff, and I know a number of people here who are forced to pay union dues, and they have no union activity whatsoever. In fact, they're in supervisory positions, but because they're not salaried.
Then they don't pay union. Supervisors don't pay union dues.
They do. I don't believe it.
I don't know.
One of my best friends here is in that situation. All hourly employees have to belong to the union. And unless he gets
a salary position,
well, again, this is America. Do you remember where we have a little bit of freedom here about what organizations we want to join and which ones we don't?
We're talking about labor organizations.
I don't care what you're talking about.
If you don't like working at a place where there's a union, go somewhere else.
Unions don't have any special privilege here. You know, it's no different than if I go to work for Hobby Lobby and they want to know what religion I am. Do I go to church regularly? Am I one of them?
I don't know.
But, you know, I'm not one of these. For me to join a union is just, I mean, I can see where people do it, and I know why people do it, and in many cases I support their efforts, whether it's
the hotel
workers, workers in Las Vegas, and the janitors in L.A., people like that were getting dirt wages. What choice did they have? They didn't. So
they
did organize, and they did do these things. Yes, they did, and that's perfectly fine. I don't have a problem with it. But if there are any of those people who don't want to,
then they don't work there.
No, the agreement is between the employee and the employer.
No, the agreement, a collective agreement is not between the employee and the employer. It is not.
I didn't say that. That's why it's called collective bargaining. I said the employee and the employer, not the union. The union is a separate entity.
No, the union, collective bargaining, the agreement is not between the employer and the employee. It is a collective agreement. Absolutely. That's why they call it collective bargaining.
I understand that, but if I want to work, if a guy wants to hire me and I want to work for him and we agree on a wage, that's it. I don't need anyone else involved in it. This is a transaction that I'm engaged in, and I don't need anyone else's participation.
I disagree.
Okay. Yeah, well,
if I'm going to go and work someplace where a collective agreement exists, I have to be willing to become part of that collective agreement. Otherwise, you're a scab.
No, I think it's just a person who believes that they have a right to work wherever.
No.
It's a freedom-loving American.
You don't have the right to prevent other people from collective bargaining. And if a collective bargaining agreement is entered into, everybody has to be bound by it. If you don't like what the union's doing, go to the union hall. Participate in your union. Walk the strike lines.
You do know my father was a Teamster, right?
Yes, I do.
You don't know how funny this is to me.
Why is this funny?
I saw some of those guys, I mean, on election day and whatever, he'd take me down to the bars when I was a kid. And these union bosses.
Do you think it's any different to run a school bus to a church and what do they call it, Bible? Now you can vote, they vote on Sunday so they can just take the whole church out.
These union bosses look like they stepped out of a James Cagney movie.
They did.
I know. They were all what they were.
They're still Americans. I love that movie, Hoffa.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. It was, yeah, I thought Nicholson did a great job with that.
I mean the one called Hoffa, not the one that... where they had the Federation of Interstate Truckers.
Yeah, the one, The one with James Jack Nicholson.
The one with what's his name? The guy with Rocky.
Oh,
he was the president of Fist.
Let me think here. Yeah, well, let's see. Are you still there?
I went to the union meetings at the USW Hall in Lackawanna. I loved them.
Like I said, you know, for me, they never... we actually still had the remnants of a union. They called it the Guild. It was the newspaper guild. And there, I think maybe
I forgot about the newspaper guild.
Yeah, they were very still in it. They still had a union. They still had a union representative, and all of the contracts that had been negotiated in the past were still in effect. And the union representative was more or less there to make sure that everything went according to the contracts, but I don't think more than maybe 5 to 10% of all the employees belonged. And I mean from the reporters to the photographers to the production to advertising, we're talking about maybe 700-800 people.
Well, the big strong unions in the newspaper industry were the pressmen.
Yeah, yeah. See,
the
now
truck
they're
drivers.
Right, right. So
I mean, I think the press will be... I wouldn't read the Washington Post for the first year I was here because they broke the pressman strike.
Oh, okay.
And
well, see, my paper...
Then the pressman broke into the Post printing plant and destroyed all the printing presses, and they arrested them all.
Yeah, with us, it was the... I believe the typesetters went on strike.
Yeah,
and so they're on strike, and you can't. The immigrant operators. Right. So, well, the typesetters were separate from the pressmen. They were the ones who assembled the pages. You know, this is way, way back. I mean, you know, when type was metal and lead and all that good stuff.
Outside of lead poisoning.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. I mean, these guys went on strike, and they're marching in front of the building and all that, and the newspaper, the management said, you know what, let's just replace all of this equipment. It's antiquated, and we'll get something else.
I know.
All these guys,
that's what they
these
did
guys
with
were,
the Post. The
well,
Post
that's,
led
yeah,
the
that's
way
what
with
happened.
That.
I mean, so these guys are in the front of the building, you know, in their picket line, and all of their equipment is in the back alley, and it was in the rain. It was, like, rusting. It was garbage now. It was just scrap metal, you know. And at the same time, then, all the drivers decided to that they would go on strike in solidarity. And guess what? They all lost their jobs. They never came back. So all of those guys, they lost the whole thing. You know, from that point on, the unions were very, very timid. They knew that, you know, the company was going to play ball or play hardball. And they did, you know. So that is pretty much it. Now, you could say that I benefited from those prior union contracts because the company still had to observe them, you know. So as far as pay scales, things like that, you know, I did okay, you know, money-wise, so. And other rights, too. I forget what else I got. Oh, the severance package. Yes, that was good. Are you still there? Yeah, you're gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm on. So now what? So I'm supposed to take over the show at this point? Okay, let's see. I'll try to stick to Norm's agenda here. We've covered unions and we've covered Hobby Lobby. Let's see. Ways to reform education. I really don't know much about that. The mess in Iraq. Now that I know about. So, yeah, that's really a disaster in my opinion, and I don't know that it's going to get any better. Let's see. I believe we are sending more advisors now. Are we up to like 800, I think? Yeah. Not that we've ever learned anything. We didn't learn anything from Vietnam. And if you didn't learn anything then, after 50,000 of our soldiers lost their lives, then what can I say? Will this repeat itself? I believe the country is like, 65% opposed, something of that sort. So this one may not be so easy if they do want to escalate it. But I have noticed all the cheerleaders from the 2003 invasion.
I'm back.
Oh, you're
Thank
back.
Thank you for carrying on for me.
Yeah, I was trying to keep it going a little bit here. I moved on to Iraq.
Oh, good. Yes, I wanted to get to where it looks like the country's breaking up.
Yeah, well, that was kind of interesting because apparently Biden made a suggestion like that many, many years back.
They laughed at him.
Yeah, and do you know, in one of my old blogs, I had the same thing. I said, you need the Sunni state, the Shiite state, and the Kurd state. And, of course, I was totally wrong then.
Iraq's gone the same way as Yugoslavia.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
once the strongman's gone, minorities break up into factions.
Yeah, it should be interesting because practically nobody but the Kurds and the Israelis want to see a Kurdish state. Because Iran and the Turks, they absolutely don't want that. That's going to stir up their population. And a lot of people don't know. The Kurds are quite tight with the Israelis. They did a lot of training over there. They had at one time kept 200 trainers and people to get their military together. So
now
that when...
Russians teaching the guys how to fly the airplanes that they've captured.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there was some... the Israelis were smart. They had an interest here, too. They knew that another pipeline needed to be done, and they had hoped it would go from the Kurdish oil section, which is the biggest, right, run through Jordan and to the port of Haifa. So that's been in their plans for quite a long time. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but that's more or less the idea. And that's why the Kurds were in better shape than any other part of the country, because they actually had an army that worked, you know. So you didn't have the level of Al-Qaeda involvement, terrorist insurgents, what have you. You know, they were able to keep a lid on that, so...
Well, come on out there, all you folks. You've been listening to us go round and round here, 347-945-6713, and you can join into the conversation.
Yeah, I haven't put MSNBC on in quite a long time, but I think I may watch it tonight.
Rachel Maddow was wonderful.
I can imagine. I mean, I just want to just see their faces. You know?
She was great. We're talking about all the wonderful things the president's going to do through executive authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why they don't see the connection. What is dangerous here? Obama
mm-hmm.
will not be president forever.
Yeah, right. And, well, you know, but, you know, I don't recall the Democrats ever being as obstructionist as the Republicans have been for, you know, since 2008.
I guess the last time was the Civil War.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I say, in my lifetime, I just don't remember anything of this sort. Because,
well, that's because in your lifetime, they generally had vast majorities, especially in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that
since Roosevelt, I think there's only been 3 Republican speakers of the House.
Mm-hmm.
The rest have been Democrats.
Well, that's right. Newt ran a pretty tight ship there, too. But,
yeah,
but it was for negotiate. I mean, he eventually got things.
Or was he,
you know,
4
some
years?
Things were done, you know.
Was he speaker for 4 years?
Did he have two terms? I think he had 2 terms. I don't know if he was speaker for all of them. And I do know he was censored, of course. Or censured.
Yeah. And the other guy, that guy in Texas who went to jail.
Oh,
Tom
DeLay,
Wright.
Yeah.
No, Tom DeLay.
Yeah.
And wasn't there that guy Haskert, too?
I don't remember.
He was the one who got in trouble for books.
Yeah, I think he had to step down, but I don't think
right.
there was any.
He did.
So, but you know what I'm saying. You know, and I know I've said it before, is there's still a lot of business that can be done. You know, and certainly immigration would be a perfect example. We all have a common interest in securing the border and providing some kind of system that works for everyone. The Farm Bill was another one.
You know, there's only one group of people who, as a group, have ever been denied entry into the United States.
Hmm.
And that's the Chinese.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chinese Exclusion Act.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very interesting. Until the 1920s, there was almost no immigration policy to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You just came here.
Yeah.
Nobody
mm-hmm.
cared. If you wanted to be a citizen, you went and applied for citizenship. If you didn't,
right.
that was okay. And you know
yeah.
what the reason was? We didn't have enough people.
Oh, well,
we
yeah.
We didn't care who came.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's why they emptied the prisons. Well, remember, all of these guys weren't murderers. I mean, some of them were pickpockets and petty thieves. So if
we
solved them,
Cuba's crime problem.
But, you know, the thing is, once you sent them over there, they could be labor, they could be whatever they were going to be, but you were populating the country. And at some point, they probably would seek employment, and you've accomplished your goal. So,
the largest
yeah,
European immigrant group in America, according to naturalization statistics, are the Italians.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Because I recall reading that more people in the U.S. can trace their ancestry to Germany than any other. But Germans got a head start, you know, in Pennsylvania.
You know, And the real interesting thing, in the 19th century, more immigrants went to South America than to North America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And in the middle of the 20th century, there was a big influx of Germans and Italians into South America.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was, I mean, you've got to think, you know, I mean, we think of South America, we think jungles and this and that, but it's not that, you know, we're talking, you know, Argentina and Chile. Yeah, it's
well,
there,
Argentina
but
is a giant plain.
Yeah, right, it's
Chile
the
same way.
Yeah, there's, you
Venezuela,
know, temperatures.
Colombia.
Tremendous resources. I mean, they had every reason to go there. You know,
everybody always thinks the language of South America is Spanish. Well, it's not. It's
yeah,
Portuguese.
Mostly Portuguese. That's right. Yes.
Because
so,
Brazil
yeah.
is so freaking big.
Right, right.
I can never remember if it's bigger than the United States or slightly smaller.
Yeah, I don't recall that either. So, yeah. Yeah, one thing that makes Sacramento stand out is we have an enormous Chinese population here.
Well, I would hope so.
They came to build
the railroads.
Well, I mean 15%. We're talking a very large group, a sizable Japanese
I'm sure.
Too, so.
Is it San Francisco the same way?
Yeah, it's, you know, but it's, you know, I
it
don't
may
really
have a
know
smaller
the
percentage, but a larger raw number.
Yeah, I mean, the old Chinatown is still there, and it's, you know, you still have street signs in Chinese and all of that, you know. And the best food you could ask for. I mean, and it's the same here. I, you know, this is the one thing about living here is that, you know, I have a Chinese restaurant every three blocks. If I get bored with that, then I've got sushi or I've got Vietnamese pho. I've got, you know, it's just.
I've become a real fan of Mongolian barbecues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah.
I like it because it's hot and fresh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you get the thing where you get the shaved meat and you pile it up in your bowl and you pick your sauce and the guy cooks it with a sword. And
he cracks your ass up in the air.
Yeah, yeah, that's
my favorite part, so I always give him a tip, so I'll never forget. Actually, my daughter was ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, and there was a lady in between us. And I threw a dollar in the tip jar. And I pointed at my daughter. And so the guy takes his flipper. He throws the egg up in the air. He cracks it. The egg goes onto what he's cooking. And somehow the shells go and so the lady that's ahead of me now, she hands him her egg, he just cracks it and throws the shells away because she didn't put anything in the tip jar. Well, how come you did her? You didn't do me.
You know, I've noticed, I guess over the last year, maybe a year, a little longer, but eggs are coming back, or they're showing up in all kinds of dishes now, mostly Chinese and Japanese and Korean food. You know, like you'll have your, you know, a bowl of vegetables and noodles and meat, and then there's this fried egg right in the middle of it. And they're just everywhere. People are putting these eggs in there. I don't remember them before. But I don't mind. You know, I like eggs. So
let's see if we cover. What did I say I was going to talk about tonight? I think we talked about it all. Hobby Lobby was the biggie. The unions.
All right. Yes.
the World Cup. I talked about that early on. The Germans.
Yeah, now we play tomorrow.
Yes, the United States plays tomorrow, the last game of the round of 16. The Germans, an incredible statistic. The Germans have made the round of 8 in the last 19 World Cups.
Well, geez.
That's an incredible statistic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is. I mean, that's the game.
Unfortunately for them, they've only won 3.
Yeah. But I've never seen people that crazy. Well, no, the English are crazier about it. But
but they never win. They won once.
I know.
Sometimes
you
they don't even qualify lately.
Yeah. But for them, it's just, I don't know, it's just this gigantic gang of people beating each other and that.
Well, anyways, there's 1 minute left. There are, of the 8 teams that will be in the round of 8, 4 of them are past winners.
Oh, shoot.
Hopefully the United States will be one of the non-past winners.
Have we won before?
We've been to the round of 8 once.
Okay, I kind of wonder because I didn't really.
You could have got 2,500 to 1 on the United States this year.
Yeah, because the first soccer game I ever went to was mid '80s, and I saw the San Jose Quakes, and it was a reasonable crowd. They didn't fill the stadium, But back then, they also had to have a band, a concert, after the game. And they had to have a name band, so
yeah,
you got to...
Right, no, if the United States wins the round of 16 games, actually, if we could get into the Final Four, soccer would explode. It would become, I'm sure the NFL, because of the success of this World Cup... They're already plotting ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a professional team now. And
where?
I think in Sacramento.
Right.
And they have a, it's a stadium. It seats 8,000, but they sell it out every game.
Right? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's really caught on here. I was amazed, I'm trying to remember.
That's an elite team, right?
Yeah, let me...
That's not an MLS team.
Yeah, I'll have to punch it in to see what's what here. I think it's Sacramento Republic.
United States Soccer League team?
Yeah, Sacramento Republic FC Football Club.
Right.
And let's see, and it's got the Bear... Ubis Indomita, the Bears dominate.
Okay, we'll close on the Sacramento Bear because we're out of time, and I'm a little bit over, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for putting up with my phone issues.
Oh, no problem at all.
This is the Norman Knight Show saying good night, and we'll see you again. Good night, Carl.
Take care, Norman.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thank you.